Hallelujah. Why don't we stand together? And let's offer the Lord our praise from the bottom of our heart for just a few moments. Would you do that together with me? Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight, O Lord, and we give you our all. Lord, we present ourselves to you. God, a living sacrifice tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It is a prayer that you can pray at any stage in life. It's a prayer that you can pray at any age. And it's a prayer that's probably good to pray again and again and again. It just says what they just sang. Lord, I give you all of me. Everything I give to you. It's very easy in our life to get a divided focus. You don't have to try to. It just happens. That's kind of what happens by default. But to come back to center once in a while and say, Lord, I give you all of me, everything, every part of me, withholding nothing. I feel like we ought to do that one more time. Just put our voice to it, put our prayer to it, and put our hunger, our desire to it in words of our own. Lord, we give you all of us, Lord. We give you everything that we are, everything that we have. Lord, we present ourselves to you a living sacrifice. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. As the choir was singing that song, I began to think of a song we used to sing quite a bit, and a song that I still enjoy, though you don't hear it too much anymore. That song, If You Can Use Anything, Lord, You Can Use Me. Anybody remember that song? If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Lord, and that's just what this song is saying. Lord, I give you all of me. Praise God. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Joel chapter 2 and beginning with verse number 25. Praise God. Let me just say again, I said it Wednesday, but it's great to have our pastor back. He was on vacation. We're glad that he's back. We miss him when he's gone. Amen. And we're glad he's back. We're glad Brother Reaver's back too. Good to have Brother Reaver back. We miss them when they're gone as well. And so it's great to have everyone back. Summer is in effect. Amen. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 25. This is the Lord speaking, and this is after there has been a call to repentance, call to repentance, a call to come back to God, a call to correct the error of their way. And the Lord, in response to repentance, how many know that God doesn't ever let repentance go unnoticed? But he always responds to repentance. Whenever, and in essence, that's really could be the essence of that song that they just sang, getting back to center. Lord, I give you all of me. Lord, I'm rededicating. I'm recalibrating my life back toward you. And so the Lord begins to make them promises. And we pick up in verse 25 a portion of those promises that he gives to them. He says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, he said, I'm going to send it among you. I'm going to send it among you. God is going to provide a way. Look at your neighbor, say, God's going to make a way. And then he says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. God always has a way of escape. I'm glad that with God, the situation is never final until God says it's final. Amen. I've come to preach hope and faith to somebody tonight. Encouragement from God's word that God is not finished. God, it's not over. That there is still hope in him. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you lift your voices and let's lift our hands, lift our spirits one more time to heaven. Let's ask God to talk to us from his word tonight. Would you do that in Jesus' name? Lord, we worship you, Lord, and we ask that you would release your word to have full effect in our hearts and lives tonight. God, that you would help us, that you would touch us, Lord, that you would minister to us by your word and by your spirit. Help us, Lord. Give us faith. God, give us hope, Lord. Restore hope from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. And you can be seated in Jesus' name. I want to preach just about the reverse effect. The reverse effect. I was at a meeting. Actually, it was held here in St. Louis up at an airport, a hotel near the airport a few years ago. And in that meeting, it was in during one of the breaks between sessions. Myself and several other ministers were down on the first floor of this hotel, and we needed to go back upstairs to one of the top floors of the hotel in order to rejoin our meetings. And so we started to get on the elevator. Myself and a couple other guys got on the elevator. And then a few others piled on the elevator. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you're sitting on the elevator and somebody just reaches their hand in at the last second and stops the door and opens it. And somebody else walks in the elevator. And then I don't know if you're the type that kind of starts pressing that closed door button trying to keep that. I was never that type until this experience. I would always try to keep the door open and let as many, you know, there's always room for one more, right? Not exactly. They just kept coming in. These guys kept coming in. And then it became kind of a joke. Well, how many more can we get in? And all these preachers kept showing up and kept trying to get on this. It was a good size elevator. And I wasn't too worried, and so I was kind of standing to the side and to the back of the elevator, and it kept getting a little bit more closed in and a little bit more closed in, and I don't think I'm really claustrophobic. I just don't like being enclosed in spaces. I guess maybe that is a little bit claustrophobic, but I don't like being trapped in. I don't like being boxed in, and they just kind of kept coming in, and we finally stopped. We said, no more. This is ridiculous. We're going to get stuck. And so we stopped at 19. There were 19 in the, that's what I said afterwards. There were 19 in the elevator. And right at the last minute before the door shut, another guy sticks his hand in the door. And we said, no. And he just insisted and pushed his way in. Now there were 20. Apparently for this elevator, 20 was the magic number. Because we pressed the floor button, and all of a sudden there was this kind of moaning noise that came from the elevator. It kind of, and it kind of started to move real slow, and then it kind of jumped down a little bit, and it started to move real slow. And I'm thinking to myself, Houston, we have a problem. 20 was the magic number. And so instead of going up, now we're at the bottom floor. You're not supposed to go down when you're at the bottom floor, just for the record. When you're in an elevator and you're at the bottom floor, it only is supposed to go up. But this moaning noise from the elevator kept getting a little bit louder, and the elevator dropped down about 3 or 4 feet, and then it dropped down a couple of more feet. And by that time, it's, a mild panic had started to ensue amongst the elevator. Now, when you think about it, this is, and when I tell that, I don't know that I've ever told this story like this in this public of a place before, but it is pretty funny when you think about it. 20 preachers crammed into an elevator, and the elevator got stuck. It got stuck. Well, there was a couple of guys in there that were a little more claustrophobic than I am, and they started to mildly or not so mildly freak out. I mean, they started to panic. I mean, one guy, he was about crying. He was like, I kind of felt bad for him. About 15 of the guys were laughing at him, but he was in a panic. Now, just by show of hands, how many of you would be in a panic at that point? Okay. It's a majority. I was in a panic, but I'm pretty good about, I don't know, having a poker face in my panic. I didn't freak out. I don't scream or cry. I just start calculating. Okay, I'm this wide, and I can see those panels up there are about this wide, and I've seen this happen in movies before where they can just crawl back out of there, so I'm sure it can be actually done, right? And so we started making these calculations. Somebody got the bright idea to try to shove the door open. Well, the door opened about that much, and that really didn't help us at all. All that we could see is that the bottom, the floor of the floor we were just on was at about right here, and everything below that was just black. We didn't know what was down there. But this experience lasted for quite some time. I didn't keep track of the time. Maybe some of the other guys on the elevator would have kept track of the time. I do know that at one point I was standing up on the rail, you know, that little rail that they have on the edge of the elevator. I was standing up on one of the rails and I was lifting out one of the panels to try to do like they show in the movie and climb out through the top because I was determined it was getting hot. These guys were sweating. We had a couple of guys freaking out. I thought, I am not going to go out like this on an elevator with 19 other guys stuck below this hotel somewhere. So, of course, you know, people had their cell phones out. We called security. They called the people that work on elevators, I guess. They said, hold on, we don't have anybody here that can fix this. We're going to get somebody here. How close do they live? So this goes on and on for some time, and finally, thankfully, we got out of the elevator and didn't have to climb out. Well, really, we couldn't climb out because what they show you in the movies is a lie. There's actually a top on top of the top, at least on that elevator, so I don't think we could have got out if we wanted to. But nevertheless, it was not a comfortable feeling to feel trapped. Anybody ever been trapped before? Anybody ever been stuck before, trapped, didn't know how you were going to get out of a situation? I'm a little fearful of those elevators now. It might get two or three people on the elevator, and I'm pressing that closed door button, getting that door closed. In fact, we were in vacation in Branson just a few weeks ago, and it was just my family that was on the elevator, and this probably is not good personal evangelism, but I'm not going to get stuck in an elevator again. People started to come in to get on the elevator. I said, no, it's full. Maybe might be rude, but I am not going to get stuck like that again, and I don't think you'd want to either. It's not a fun feeling to feel stuck, to feel trapped. And while we can look back at situations like that and laugh, it's one thing to be stuck in a situation that is humorous later on, but it's another thing to be stuck in a situation of life that is simply something that is beyond your control. A problem that you can't solve, or something that you can't fix, or a mindset, or a heart set that is something that you just can't seem to correct, something that you can't overcome, or something that you can't seem to get past. Like the cat having the goldfish trapped in the bowl. I feel like I'm preaching to people here tonight, to somebody who just doesn't feel like there's a way of escape for your particular dilemma. It doesn't feel like there's a way out. Maybe the prognosis is not good. Maybe you look at the circumstance and it appears that the outcome is fixed, that everything is set and it's not going to go your way. Things are not looking your way. But if you've lived for God for very long, you've probably had the experience of being in a situation that you felt like you were stuck in. You were trapped by circumstances beyond your control. If you've lived for God very long, you have watched God perform a reversal in impossible situations. Has anybody ever seen him do that before? If you've lived for God very long, you've experienced a prognosis that said it was going to end this way, but somehow God stepped in and there was a complete reverse effect. And when the prognosis said it was going to end this way, God said, I am able to heal, I'm able to deliver, I'm able to save, and I'm able to set free. You've experienced this in your own life, and you've probably witnessed this happen in the lives of other believers. So I've come tonight with a very simple message to encourage somebody's faith, to strengthen somebody's faith, that we serve a God that is able to perform the impossible. We serve a God that is able to reverse any situation, that is able to solve any problem. I know this may seem very elementary. I know this may sound very basic, and it is very basic. It is elementary. It's so simple a child could understand it, that God is able to perform the impossible. And when man says there is no way, God always has a way.
I've come to preach faith in the face of every defeat, that when it seems like it's impossible, this is not a once in a while occurrence in God's economy, but miracles of reversal happen all the time in God's economy, in God's church, and among God's people. God specializes in the reverse effect, if you will, turning a situation that is headed one way into an entirely different direction. And I declare by faith tonight that tonight in this service, God is able to do what the doctor said cannot happen. I'm not just preaching a message tonight. I'm declaring in faith to somebody that God is able to do what the doctor said is impossible. God can do it tonight. I declare tonight that God can change a situation that appears to be static, that appears to be stuck, that appears to be no way of escape or no possible of getting better. I'm telling you that God can step in tonight and God can lift somebody out of your dilemma. God can lead somebody out of your wilderness experience. I'm preaching about a God that can give hope to the hopeless, that can perform a miracle in the midst of an impossible. Possibility. God is able to reverse something that give you an entirely different outcome than you expected. God specializes in doing miracles in extraordinary circumstances and situations. I just want, by a show of hands tonight, how many have had God answer a prayer for you where you felt like the situation was doomed? Maybe it was a sickness. Before you raise your hand, maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a financial dilemma. Maybe it was a family problem. But something that you felt like was doomed to be a certain way. I'm not talking it was a 50-50 chance. Because if it's a 50-50 chance, we can chalk it up to chance. If it's a 60-40 or even a 70-30 chance, we can just chalk it up to chance or our life situation just kind of playing out differently than we thought. You know, you prepare yourself for worst case scenario and it didn't turn out so bad after all. I'm asking you, how many have had a situation where you were as sure as you could be? I mean, you were 99% sure, maybe 100% sure that this was going to be the outcome. This was how it was going to wind up. But something happened and God performed a reversal. God did a miracle. Now, if you've had an experience like that, that was that drastic, that God performed a reversal, that God performed a miracle, I want you to lift up your hand right now. If you've had an experience, and I feel like we ought to just take a second and praise Him right now. In fact, some of you, while your hand is lifted, you're thinking about what God did. You're thinking about the answer that God gave you. You're thinking about the time that God came through for you. I'm telling you, if He's done it before, He can do it again. And we ought to take a moment and just give Him praise right now. Lord, we give You praise. We give You thanks because You're worthy. God, we thank You that You're able to reverse any problem, that You're able to reverse any circumstance. God, that You're able to undo it. You're able to fix it. You're able to heal it. Lord, we thank You. I'm preaching about a God who can take impossible hunger and He can reverse it with 5 loaves and a couple of fishes. I'm talking about a God that can take a terrible situation of bondage where there is no way out, and He sends a stuttering shepherd to be a deliverer. I'm preaching about a God who can spit in the dirt and make a lump of clay and can transform blindness into vision. I'm preaching about a God that in the midst of a stormy sea can step out on the water and begin to do the impossible and walk on the water. I'm preaching about a God who all the way back in the beginning set the precedent when the world was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, that the Spirit of God moved on the face of those waters. I'm preaching about a God that can create something out of nothing. I'm preaching about a God that can change. He can alter lives. He can transform situations. He can give new hope and He can give new life. I'm preaching to somebody who's in the middle of it right now and telling you that if he has done it before, he can do it again. If he's ever done it before, he can do it again. If he's ever done it before, he can do it again. I had you lift your hand a minute ago. If he had reversed an impossible situation, not just to show a witness of what God had done, but to build faith for what God can do. He is not just the God of yesterday. I thank God for every miracle of yesterday. I thank God for every miracle of days gone by. I thank God for every revival and every outpouring and every infilling of yesterday. But he is not just the God of yesterday. If he was just the God of yesterday, we might as well fold up and go home. But he is the God of yesterday and then comma today. And he's the God also of tomorrow. He is not just the God that could perform it once and never again, but if he's done it before, he can do it again. Oh, somebody praise him right now. He wants to do it again tonight. He wants to perform it again for somebody. Oh, somebody just give him praise right now. Lord, we worship you and we praise you because you are able. You are able. You are able, Lord. And we lift our faith to you. We lift our worship to you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm preaching about life situations that maybe some have just contented themselves with. Life situations that maybe you have just chalked it up that it's going to stay that way and there is no hope for a change. That loved one is never going to come back to God. That sickness is never going to leave your body. That problem is never going to be completely done away with. I'm preaching about a God that can reverse the situation. A God, and I prophesy to somebody tonight, I declare, I preach to somebody tonight that it be it to you according to your faith, that if your faith can turn again towards God, if your faith can turn again towards him, that God is able to do the work for you. Oh, somebody lift up your voice to him for just a minute. I feel his presence in this place right now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. I was up in New Brunswick a couple of weeks ago, I guess about 3 weeks ago now. I was preaching a convention up there in Moncton, New Brunswick, and they had me staying on a hotel right by this river, the Petticoatiac River, it's called. And an interesting phenomenon takes place at this particular river. This river flows into and out of what's called the Bay of Fundy. And it's a beautiful place up there in New Brunswick. I've been to the Bay of Fundy multiple times, and I've been around that area, and I had been to Moncton before, but I had never witnessed what I was able to see on this last occasion, this last trip. It is the site, the Bay of Fundy, of the highest and the lowest tides in North America. It's a place where each day the tide comes in and goes out in an incredible measure. I don't have the exact footage, how many feet that it rises and falls, but it's tremendous. You'll drive by. In fact, I came in from the airport in a rental car, and as I got to the hotel, it was evening, and the hotel sits right on this river, and I noticed that the water was full. I mean, it was right to the top, and then the next morning, I looked out, and I didn't even realize that this was the river, and this is where it all kind of happened. And the next morning, I looked out, and it was low. I mean, the river, it looked like there was hardly any water in the river. There was all this bare land that was exposed, and it looked like somebody just pulled the plug on the river. I thought, what in the world? Maybe I was so tired last night that I'm seeing things. So I went down to the front desk, and I asked the front desk. I said, hey, what's the deal is this with this river out here? So they begin to tell me what happens in that river. People come from all over the world on vacations. They'll stop by this particular place in this river at the Bay of Fundy, and they'll watch what is called the tidal bore. It's when the river will actually drain. The river will almost completely drain. I mean, almost down to nothing. And all of this barren land is exposed. No growth. Just looks like just mud. And in some cases, it gives a false appearance. It'll look like dry mud. It's an interesting thing. And they said that people have actually died because they've walked down and they try to walk on the mud. They don't know what's happening. And the mud is so wet. It's like quicksand. It just sucks them right in. So it's this thing that occurs, it's called this tidal bore, where the river will completely drain into the Bay of Fundy. But then on the high tide, twice a day this happens, where that tide will raise so much that it will literally push back against that river. And it will reverse the course of the river for a period of time in that day. It will fill that river all the way back up to the very tip top of its banks, only to have the same cycle go again, where it will begin to go out and it will repeat twice a day. They said, you've got to watch this while you're here. If you've never seen this before, it's an amazing thing. They said a wave will come across the top of that river, signifying the change in direction. I thought, come on. Are you serious? This muddy old river out here in the middle of New Brunswick, and they're saying a wave comes across the river. The gal at the front desk, she said, yeah, actually surfers will come here in the summertime, and they get two waves a day. And they will surf this one wave, and they will surf from the mouth of the Bay of Fundy miles up this river and have somebody pick them up at the end of the river. You can look it up, YouTube it. It's not right now. Wait till after service, please. But you can watch this happen. This is incredible. So I had to watch this happen, and sure enough, I went out there, and I missed it on the one time. So I went out there the last day that I was there. It was a beautiful sunny day, and we walked out there. I walked out there with Pastor Thornton, who's the youth president up there. We walked out, and we stood on this little ledge, and we watched it, and they tell you the time that it's going to happen. It's like a five-minute window, and sure enough, we watch off in the distance, and you watching the water in front of you. It's moving this way. It's moving out to the Bay of Fundy. As we were looking at it, it was moving right to left. And all of a sudden, off in the distance, you see this white cap on the top of the river. And it's moving slow. It's the weirdest thing. Usually when you go to the ocean, you see waves move at a pretty good clip, one right after the other. But this wave is moving slow. It's just rolling, churning water as it's literally reversing the effect of that river. And so you watch it, and it starts far off, and it just rolling, pushing that river. And sure enough, there's a crest, a wave. I mean, it's not a 6-foot wave, but it's at least a foot or two, and it's coming back across that river, literally reversing the effect of that river. And you can watch rocks begin to disappear that are down along the bank. You can watch that river just begin to fill up as that reversal takes place. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight that you have felt like life and circumstances have spiritually drained you. You have felt depleted in your spirit. You felt washed out. You felt barrenness spiritually. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that life and situation, maybe relationships or problems, have left you feeling barren and left you feeling vulnerable, left you feeling empty, and you felt like there's not any hope for a reversal. But I'm preaching to somebody tonight that what I feel in the spirit, in fact, I didn't even intend to include this in the message, but it just came to me before the service. I feel in the spirit that God is getting ready to perform a reversal for somebody, that God is getting ready to reverse the flow. And where it feels like your virtue and your strength has just been going out, it's been going out. Maybe for somebody, it's your finance. It's just been going out. Maybe it's been a relationship or a family situation or a health situation that's just been deteriorating. I speak in the Holy Ghost that there is a reversal in the house tonight, that God wants to perform a miracle of reversal. That just as that wave comes across that river, that I sense a wave of the Spirit. In fact, it started in the service this morning as we responded to God. As we responded to God in rededication and recommitment and repentance, that there is a reversal that comes. I'm declaring that the same God that can bring restoration in the book of Acts is the same God that can bring restoration here tonight, no matter what it is that you're up against or what it is that you're facing. There was desolation. There were problems. God called the people to repentance. He called them to seek him. And as they sought him, he was going to bring restoration. And what looked like it had been devoured, what looked like it had been completely destroyed, God said, I'm going to bring it back to you. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change it. And then a few verses later, he tells them, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to pour out my spirit in a measure that you've never known before. I'm going to pour out my spirit to a degree that you've never witnessed before. I'm preaching that God can pour out his spirit in somebody's life tonight. Somebody's life tonight that you felt dry and barren. God can pour out his spirit in your life tonight. God specializes in reversing what seems to be irreversible. He came by Bartimaeus. It was a God appointment. Man didn't schedule it. Man didn't engineer it. He comes by Bartimaeus by divine appointment. And God is here tonight by that same appointment. He's in this place tonight. Do you remember when God sat with Ezekiel? He sat Ezekiel down in the valley of dry bones. God put him there. Ezekiel didn't put himself there. God put him there. Or when Philip met that Ethiopian eunuch, God had arranged that situation. Or when the woman from Samaria came to the well and just happened to meet Jesus there sitting on the well, God arranged that. Just as God set up all of those encounters, I'm preaching that God has a divine encounter for somebody here tonight. That it's not just going to be an ordinary Sunday night service, but before this service is over, there's going to be something released in your life, and you're going to look back and say, it was that day something happened. Maybe it didn't all get fixed that night, but there was a reverse. There was a shift in tide. There was a shift in direction. Oh, somebody needs to receive that right now. There was a shift. There was something that changed, and God did it. It wasn't man. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a song, but there was a divine appointment that was set by God, and God performed a reversal. Oh, somebody lift your hands to the Lord one more time. I feel him in this place right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. Lift your hands and your voice for just a minute. Lord, I pray right now, God, that somebody would seize their moment of faith. God, that somebody would seize their moment of this miraculous. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Don't let him pass you by, Bartimaeus. Don't let him pass you by, but you need to capitalize on your moment. He's brought you here for a reason and for a purpose. He's passed by your way for a purpose. There's an intention from heaven that he wants to change something in your life. God didn't just give him divine appointment, but then often God in Scripture provokes a conversation. He shows up, but he doesn't just show up and perform the miracle. He often in Scripture provokes a conversation. He wants to talk about it. He does many times in Scripture. He begins by asking questions. Now, men often have questions of God. But when God asks questions, we ought to listen. God asks the questions, and it gets their attention. He looks at Bartimaeus and he says, what do you want me to do for you? He says to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Is there any hope here? He says to the woman at the well, give me something to drink. He says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch of fish. But master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. What's God doing? There's a divine appointment. God has showed up in his power. Wouldn't it be great if he just came and just dropped the miracle right in our lap? But oftentimes he initiates a discussion, a conversation, because he wants to know if we really want it, or what we really want, or if we're really hungry for it, if we're really thirsty for it. God initiates a conversation. Sometimes this conversation is carried out places of prayer, at an altar before God. What he's doing is like the man with the withered hand. He's trying to get us to bring that impossibility to light. I'm preaching to people, perhaps, that maybe you've got an impossible situation that few, if anybody, knows about. And God's not, I'm not preaching or encouraging anyone that you need to tell other people about it, but I am saying that you need to tell Him about it. You may not have a conversation with anybody else about it, but I want to have a conversation with God about it. He says, Son of man, can these bones live? And then it's not very long before God commands him to speak to the valley of dry bones. I declare to somebody that if you'll speak to your situation tonight, if you'll speak to your problem, your dilemma, if you'll declare God's goodness, if you'll declare God's power, that God is able to perform the miracle. God is able to perform the miracle. Can I take it a step further and tell you, God isn't even intimidated when you express your doubt. He said, Simon, launch out into the deep. And Simon says, Master, we've toiled, we've sweat, we've tried all night, and we haven't taken anything. God is not intimidated by your doubt. If you'll just respond to Him, if you'll just respond to His presence, He's able to do a miracle. Oh, yes, He is. He was greeted at the home of Lazarus by a house full of doubt and a mouth of accusation. But yet He said, if you'll just roll away the stone, I'm able to perform a miracle in spite of your doubt. God is here tonight. He's able to perform a miracle tonight. He's able to do a work in somebody's heart, in somebody's life. But He wants you to present it to Him afresh and anew. He wants you to give it to Him all over again. And if you will give it to Him, He will hear your prayer. He'll respond to your prayer, and He'll reverse the situation that you thought was impossible. God specializes in impossible situations. One more time, would you lift your hands and lift your voice to the Lord all across this sanctuary in Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. 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 It's after the inquiry, the conversation. He says to Bartimaeus, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he receives his sight. Because it's in the middle of that conversation, just like happened time and again in Scripture, you're going to get a word from the Lord. It starts with an impossible situation that's brought to a divine appointment. And then a conversation with God. A dialogue, a question. And then comes the word from the Lord. And God says, Bartimaeus, you're going to receive your sight. He tells Ezekiel, declare, prophesy, preach to these dry bones, and I'm going to reverse what seems to be an irreversible situation. A valley full of dry bones. There's no life. There is no hope. But I am going to perform a miracle. And I said it in the beginning. I've said it throughout. And I'm saying it again. That tonight in this service, God wants to perform a miracle of reversal for somebody. It may be as simple as praying a prayer that you have prayed 10 or 20 times over, and God has given you another divine appointment tonight, and He's saying, pray again, seek me again, talk to me again, lift up your voice again, and if you'll respond to His word, if you'll reach out to Him again, if you'll lift up your voice to Him again, there's going to be a word come back from heaven, and He's going to say, now it's time, here's your miracle. There's going to be a reverse. God's not done with you. God's not finished. Your ministry is not over. Your future is not final. It's not as bad as the enemy wants you to think it is. God still has a plan. God still has a way. God is not done with your situation yet. Would you stand with me, and would you lift up your hands and lift up your voice? Somebody just respond to God right now. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I pray right now that you would increase somebody's faith. I pray right now that you would increase someone's faith. I pray right now that they would move past doubt, that they would move past every discouragement, everything that they have thought and everything they have felt and everything the enemy has whispered in their ear, Lord, and they would feel the moving of your presence. They would feel the reversal of the tide spiritually. They would feel a shift. They would feel a change, Lord, like something is happening, Lord. Something that can't be created by man. Something that cannot be created by man, nor can it be stopped by man. But Lord, you are performing the work of a reverse, Lord. You're turning it around, and you're turning it for our good. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It was the great prophet Elisha who prayed 7 times before he saw the hand of God move the way it was supposed to happen. He prayed again and again and again. There was a famine that was coming to an end. And he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. In other words, there's going to be a reversal. There's going to be a reverse effect. There's going to be something shift, something change. But he didn't just pray a little now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. He prayed 7 times before it happened. And time and again in scripture, God says, if you'll pray again, if you'll ask, if you'll seek, if you'll knock, if you'll go wash again, if you'll do it again. So I'm preaching tonight. This altar is open. And if there's anybody that wants God to reverse a flow or an effect or in a situation in your life, a sickness in your family, a problem in your family, a problem in a loved one's life, a problem in any area or any aspect of your life, if you're wanting him to reverse it, I invite you to come down here and lift up your voice yet again. Respond to the Lord yet again. God wants to let you know it's not over. It's not finished. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it. Gather in, and maybe if he's done it for you, and if you're not in a dilemma right now, you don't need him to reverse anything in your life right now, find somebody else to pray with. Find somebody else to believe with. In Jesus' name. Lord, you know the end from the beginning. God, you know every situation. God, you know every dilemma represented here tonight that maybe nobody else knows about. And your word is sure, and you're ready to reverse it. You're ready to reverse it, Lord. Right now, I pray you'd release your power. I pray you'd release your power and release your miraculous intervention right now. In Jesus' name. 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 That's it. Lift up your voice to the Lord again. Lord, you're able. You're able. You're able. And we give it to you again. Lord, you're able.